You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Bruh, 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 bruh. What up, Real Ass Dudes? We're back. We are back with another edition of the Real Ass Podcast. I'm your host, Luis J. Gomez. Oh, I'm feeling actually pretty good today. I was on my way over here listening to some Incubus, and it put me in a good mood. It reminded me of my youth. It was very nostalgic. Even though I pulled my back at the gym the other day, and I constantly feel like I have to pee because I think I took too much Ritalin over the weekend. But beyond all that stuff, I still feel pretty good. That is a
testament. That might be a prostate issue.
It actually could be a prostate issue. Please don't say that because I think I have prostate cancer. I genuinely am a hypochondriac. You know that voice, the golden voice, the international superstar, Zach Amico. Glad to have you here, buddy.
I am glad to have you while you before you die of prostate cancer.
No, it really is kind of scary, dude. But it is a testament to how good Incubus is, that even though I'm thinking I'm dying of prostate cancer, I feel like I got to pee all the time. My back is in horrible pain. I'm still feeling pretty good.
I think that's the power of the Adderall you're taking.
No, I don't have any more Adderalls. Oh. That's why I took too much Ritalin.
So you're actually just naturally feeling good, even with the back pain and having to pee.
Yes. Now, this if imagine incredible. Robbie Bernstein, who's also here, imagine if you had brought some Adderall for me today, how much better I could be feeling.
Imagine if I had that in my pocket at this very moment.
What? Is this illegal? Can we do this on camera?
No,
don't pull it out, Robbie. Do not pull out drugs on camera. He's just kidding. This is a show with Daily Motion, Stand Up New York Labs, our partners here.
All comics.
We're just telling jokes.
Just joshing.
But we'll do that under the table at one point. I'm actually pumped to have today's guest, and never had him on the show before. We don't really have brown people on the show in general. We've never had a
That's okay for Daily Motion.
That's okay for Daily Motion. They like that. That's why they have us on board. This guy is fucking, he's a hilarious comic, good friend of mine, fellow Latino in crime. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Miguel Dalmau. Well,
thank you for having me, man.
I'll give you your own intro song.
Oh, well, I just realized. Yeah, thanks for playing that one for me. It's very fitting. In all fairness, she's quit that business, so.
Miguel's mother is a stripper. And, no, it's your new chick.
My new girlfriend.
We're going to talk about that today. I think it's kind of fun. This is T-Pain's I'm in love with a stripper. Which, look, dude.
Deeply in love with a stripper.
You're in love with this chick, huh?
Ah, so in love, man.
I want to get into this. Look, Miguel's a hilarious comic. He also just had a kid. He had a kid like a week after I had my kid.
Yeah.
So our kids are technically growing up together. Even though they've never met, we still have to do a play date.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give Miguel a little bit more juice on the mic. He's very low. I like him. Only if it's a guest that I don't like, you turn them down a little bit. I don't want them to be louder. I want them to be 80% of me. But Miguel, you could put him at about 90% of my volume.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I love the respect you're giving me.
I give you a little bit more respect than I give most of the other guests.
Respect.
That's why my mic's at 10%.
Which, by the way, I think Hispanics are the one race you can still get away with saying spick. Like, nobody, you couldn't say the N-word. I can't say kike. I do, but that's probably why I'm at where I'm at in my career. But you know what I'm saying? But people can get away with saying spick like it's nothing.
Yeah, I don't get offended at all.
No, but I think we need to take it back. We need to be offended like the black people are offended by the N-word.
Yeah, but I'm not going to call you my spick every time I see you.
Please don't.
No, that's B's job.
Miguel just had a kid, and like me, was going through some problems with your chick. You are official. Are you divorced now?
I got tricked a little bit. My ex-wife told me, all right, you know what? I'm just going to pay for the fucking divorce. Fuck it. Like, let's finalize it. And then she came with a contract, and I was very tired. I had just finished working the shift at the hospital.
Miguel had his manager look at his contract.
I had nobody
was this before or after you walked out on her for the stripper?
I did not walk out for a stripper.
I just want to keep the story
straight. No. Don't say, no, do not. I did not walk out of my wife for a stripper. I walked out. Wait, Jesus, hold on.
You walked out of your wife.
No.
And your child.
No, you're admitting that.
I mean, you left him for a blue hair.
The name
stripper.
Of this episode is going to be Exhibit A in the divorce trial.
No.
Exhibit A. The fucking intro song, I didn't even finish it.
And already I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because of a stripper. That should be the... No, me and my wife decided to separate, and then a week later I met.
All right, we'll get it. I'm gonna get into all this, but so keep on with this divorce thing. How she tricked you?
What happened? So she goes, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know, you have a girlfriend.
She gives you a contract.
She gives me a contract
in English.
She goes, after you sign this, we're officially divorced. That's it. It's over. And the contract was that she wanted me to pay X amount of money for child support, which I agreed on, and she also wanted me to pay for half of the credit card debt. So I was like, okay, fine. After this, we're divorced.
Then she went shopping.
Just 5 hours later, I get an email from the lawyer. Goes, okay, so Sabrina paid for the contract. You have to pay to finalize the divorce. So she tricked me. She told me she paid for the divorce to be finalized. She only paid to have the contract.
Well, how much is it to finalize the divorce? It's like $400. I see Subway ads.
No, because we had like things to like work out. So I still got to pay about another
your chick
could
strip for one night and you could pay for this.
Yeah, dude. Throw her back in the game.
No, one night on the pole.
Sometimes she goes, I think I should go back for one night. I'm like, don't. Please don't.
Well, you could pay. If it finalized, it's $1,000.
Yeah, so that's what I still owe. But she tricked me because she told me she paid for the whole thing. But it turns out she just paid enough to have the contract made out. So I stick to my word.
Can we get a go? Fund me going for Miguel Dalmau.
Yeah, I just need to finalize his divorce.
Yeah, you really do. I feel bad because I'm going through it with my chick right now, and luckily we're not married. So,
So you did it right.
I just put it in her, and I feel bad for you, man. But that's kind of crazy, dude. That it's only $1,000. You just need one. Weekend, one good weekend, and it could all be done. By the way, I posted that on Facebook the other day. GoFundMe didn't exist like when all of my trials and tribulations happened, like when my dad was murdered or my mom died of cancer. Like, there was no GoFundMe. I literally had to just deal with it. That's why my mom doesn't have a headstone. She just has a rock and a stick in the shape of a cross over a fucking hole in the ground.
With an old hat on her.
Yeah, dude, if GoFundMe existed, I would have gotten a big old fucking headstone. I might have even, I don't know, I would have gotten like a tomb or something.
Something nice with the Puerto Rican flag on it. Just class.
Did you just like bury your mom next to a park bench, like where is she buried?
I don't even know, honestly. I haven't visited my mom's grave in a long time. It's kind of sad.
You just made her a roadside memorial.
You spray painted
a fucking
her
Virgin Mary
white.
Guadalupe candle next to the fucking highway.
It's just fucking flowers and candles on the ground. It's a sight.
You spray painted her old bike white. Just
you couldn't track down some of her old clients.
But I think we should do some sort of fundraising thing for Miguel Dalmau so he could finalize his divorce. Why don't we do that? Hold on one second.
Yeah.
First of all, I think that would genuinely be funny. Why don't you do that on Facebook? I swear to God, I think that would be legitimately hilarious. And you write a long, story about...
That could then be called Exhibit B. About how Miguel doesn't take this divorce seriously.
The help me leave my wife and kids campaign for Miguel Dalmau.
Well, it's not till I get what it's saying, but you want to make this shit, you got to do it right, dude. You got to, look.
A Spickstarter.
Did we just start a new site? Let's just do that.
By the way, you know what? I'm going to kick Chris Scopo off the show. I just realized it's better when he's not here.
Really?
It's Chris Scopo today. He bailed on the show last minute because he's doing a YKWD. And he fucking, this motherfucker just last minute, which is fine. I get it, dude. Look, it's Bobby's show. That show, it helps us out so much. It's such a big fucking deal. And Bobby's the man. I get you're not going to bounce on YKWD, but I know he didn't find out about it last night at midnight.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that's not the fucking case. So I have to ask Robbie Bernstein late last night, if he can do it, which is awesome. Thank you for filling in, Robbie Bernstein. You are funnier than Chris Scopo.
Thanks, if that's a compliment. That's a compliment,
No,
right?
I was just naming facts.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
You're the new host at LOL now.
Dude. No, I'm fucking annoyed with Scopo. So what I decided to do today is I want to do a Scopo watch. YKWD is actually live right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to check in from time to time and see how funny Scopo's being on YKWD. We're going to go live right now really quick just to see what Scopo's doing. Let's see what he's saying.
What if I do a show with you, Will, and Patrick?
That's a great episode.
You know, one of them would be like, nah.
I think that'd be a great episode.
Scopo's not talking. Okay. Yeah. As always, Scopo's not talking. So fuck you, Scopo. We're going to do that a few times on today's show. We're going to do Scopo watch and see if Scopo's actually talking on the YKWD episode that he bailed out on this one for. fucking cocksucker. All right, so listen, dude. So you and your chick are getting divorced now. Hopefully, we're gonna do this thing on Kickstarter. I really think it's fucking
funny.
No,
absolutely. I mean, I really want to just finalize this thing so I can just move on from.
And you got this new chick who's a stripper or was a stripper.
Was a stripper.
She's great, dude.
Yeah.
Now, we can't say her name.
She doesn't mind. She's been on a bunch of stand up labs.
Okay. Yeah. Amy. She's a sweetheart, dude. She's super cool. Smoking hot little blue haired punk rock chick. My style, dude. Which I love. You fucking piece of shit.
By the way,
totally up my fucking alley.
By the way, every time we're home and we can't make the Legion of Skank podcast on Tuesday, she watches you guys live, and she goes, "God damn it, Lewis and Jay are just so fucking great." And I was like, "Give me the fucking phone. Just stop staring at these guys when you're high and your bra and panties." Can you just stop?
Dude, I'll tell you, man, she's a fucking hot chick.
That's how I watch Legion of Skanks too.
And her bra and panties.
Yeah.
Dude, you fucking look. She's smoking. Do you get worried because she was a stripper, dude? And look, that's I'm not gonna pass judgment on anybody, dude. Yeah. Do what you want to do with your body, but it is the type of thing where we're Latin guys. We have this passionate type of, you know, definitely a jealousy thing in us. Yeah. I'm assuming you have it.
Oh, I have it. Yeah, yeah.
How did you meet her as a stripper?
Yeah, I went into the club that she worked at. I was I could talk about it. It's okay. I was up in Syracuse. Featuring for Carlos Mencia, and then he goes, "Well, you seem depressed." I was like, "Yeah, you know, me and my wife are going through divorce." He goes, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "I don't know. Let's go to a strip club." He's like, "Fuck yeah!" And then he took me to a strip club, and as soon as I walked in,
he stole your joke book.
Yes. So here you go. He's like, "Hold on to it while I'm at the strip club." Never saw him again.
He got you drunk. Like, where did my joke book go?
Amy actually picked that out of my pocket, handed it over to him. And that's... No. So as soon as we got up to the, he got this VIP area, and as soon as the night started, she was the first one up, and then as soon as I saw her, like, I've never said this about a girl, but as soon as I saw her, I was like, I gotta know who she is.
You're like, I need to know whose labia that is.
Yeah.
Was it full nudity?
No, they have the panties and they wear the
pasties.
That's what it is.
Okay, so there's no nipples either.
No.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No, she was just a dancer. I mean, not like a stripper. I mean, she was a stripper, but.
But guys, it's a strip club, but those happen to be the rules in that area.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so she wore pasties all the time, and we had a pretty crazy meet.
And you could only burn her in the elbows or behind the knees. No visible marks.
Carlos goes, "Hey, give my friend Miguel a dance. He's going through a divorce." And then she goes, "Really? I'm going through a divorce. My husband's a piece of shit." And I was like, "Oh, my wife is a piece of shit." And then they played "I'm Not Fucking With You" for us. You know, like, we're like singing it to them, and... We talked pretty much all night.
So you met her in the strip club. I didn't know that, Miguel.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't listen when you talk usually.
Oh, yeah. Just the way I locked. Okay, this is my favorite thing. She brought me on stage, and she took off my belt, and she put the belt around her neck. And then she jumped.
She tried to kill herself because she heard your act. She read some of the jokes before she gave it to the girls.
This is the most delinquent romance story ever.
Hey,
I saw her.
Scumbag one.
With the belt around her neck, and I knew this was the woman.
She weighs 100 pounds. She jumped on me, put her hips around, her legs around my hip.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I hold on to the belt," and then she rappelled back. And the belt fucking snapped on her neck.
Yeah.
And I brought her up, and she gets really wet. So she got so wet
myself.
That I saw it on my shirt. Like,
what?
We locked eyes, and she was like, "You want to kiss me?" And I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "Let's go to the back, and you can kiss me." And I was like, "Yeah, okay."
And then you spent $900 on a kiss.
No. We did the $20 VIP, but we didn't kiss because she's like, "There's still cameras here, but here's what I'm going to do. Give me your phone. And I'm going to put my number in it." And she was like, "Listen, I just want you to know I'm not giving you my number because I want you to come back in here. And I'm not going to flirt with you as a customer. I want to know you." And I was like, "Yeah, we'd love to know you too." And we kept texting. And then by the end of the weekend, she came to the show at the Funny Bone.
Okay.
And we fucked in the Funny Bone bathroom. And then we just kept talking after that.
So she's more talented than you. That's what I gathered from this story.
Yeah.
She's better at her craft
than
you are.
She's a better
closer.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
All right, I get it.
Yeah.
That's a fucking crazy story. Now, does your chick know that you're with this chick now?
Yeah, she does. And she found out very quickly because, Amy's on social media and all stuff. She's always, like, posting about my shows. And, when somebody starts to become a constant factor, they automatically, like, "Oh, who the fuck's this person that you're constantly tweeting at or retweeting?" So Sabrina found out very quickly, and... for about 2 weeks, almost didn't let me see my son because he was like, "You're fucking dating a stripper?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but, she's a nice person."
No, but it's kind of, it's a weird thing, man. I mean, look, I'm, me and B, we're going through our shit. Now, let's say me and B never work it out and, we move on and, I move into a separate apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly I could let on that I was like dating another chick. Not let on,
yeah.
But like I just wouldn't be as open about it. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's like a fucking nail in the coffin. So what I'm hearing is you hate your fucking wife. You just don't want to be with her anymore. That's that.
Yeah, like I remember the day we finally decided, I came back from a road gig and she just saw me miserable. And she just looked at me and she went, you want a divorce, don't you? Now, I wanted a divorce for over 2 years, but I've been like, you know, you kind of play it off because you have a kid. So you're like, no, let's work it out. Let's try counseling, yada, yada. But when she asked me, like, do you want a divorce? Like, everything in my body couldn't stop me from saying yes.
Did you start crying?
Yes. I really did. I'm not going to lie. I cried and I was like, yes, yes. And I just couldn't stop saying yes. And she was like, all right.
Can we reenact it right now?
Okay.
All right, Zach, you be Sabrina. Okay. You kind of look like her.
I'm walking around the house, Mr.
You lucky son of a bitch.
Okay.
She's brown skin, though.
All right. Hold on, my back hurts because I've been taking care of this child by myself all week.
Okay, all right.
And your full-time job. Don't forget about your full-time job.
Yeah, and just it's a nightmare.
You're a teacher for children with autism, so that's...
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So you know, I do great things.
Robbie Bernstein, you're the kid.
Where's my dad? I haven't seen him all week.
No, he barely speaks. He's a little slow.
Oh, is he slow?
He's delayed in speech. No,
I'm kidding.
But I'm not going to say the joke then. Okay.
Is he a guy or girl?
It's a boy, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so hold on. I just put Bernstein down.
See, now he makes me feel like he's having to take care of his kid all week.
So it's a lot of dad-dads. Just that's it. Yeah.
Dad-da.
He's not coming home.
Dad-da.
He's covered in glitter and happiness right now.
Dad-da.
I don't want to do this game anymore. I feel like a piece of shit. No, that's forget good. It. Came over.
Right. Oh, that's fucking funny. I'm sorry.
No, it's just hilarious.
But didn't you say she, like, at one point she said, I hate you? Like, when you finally got divorced, she's like, I realized I always hated
you
or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. She went to counseling, and she was like, because we hadn't had sex, like, in about 2 years. You know what I mean? Even in our marriage. And she was like, going to counseling, I realized I did not like you. I was actually just going through the motions of a marriage because of the baby. And I was like, and part of me was like, thank you. Please just admit the fact that for 2 years, we were just people paying bills and raising this kid. We weren't even like, dude, when we were to have, like, a date night, we were serious to be like, all right, we're gonna go out tonight, yay! And then she'd be like, you know, it's raining. I'm like, yeah, it is raining. We should probably not go out tonight. Like, I was like, we just look for a reason not to.
I mean, look, you also had other shit because I talked to you on a couple other podcasts. Like, she was really nice. She wasn't supportive of your career. That's the one thing that, like, you gotta have, like, in a relationship, especially when you do something like this, because in the beginning, it's so hard to make money and it's so hard to kind of get over that hump. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the support of somebody going like, fuck you, you're hilarious, I believe in you, you need to fucking push forward, don't do anything else.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, I think it's nearly impossible. And that's one thing
that
I noticed.
I'm alone.
Yeah, but or you
no
need to be alone.
No one's going to be that person.
Or you need to be alone. Yeah. Because if you're not, you need like an unyielding support.
Yeah.
Or you need to be alone and do it by yourself. Because if you have a person that's trying to, even just in the most practical way, it makes sense. Well, my chick... You know, when she says, we're not putting money away for my son's college right now, that is a very practical, real thing.
Yeah.
I need her to be able to kind of wrap her mind around that I'm working really hard right now for not a lot of money.
Yeah.
So hopefully within a few years, I'm going to be making a lot of money and that's not going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And you need to have a certain personality type to be able to do that by yourself. Yeah. That's why very few people can do sales. That's sales 101.
Yeah.
But, to be able to be with somebody and put that unyielding faith in somebody else, that's a whole other level. And I've watched a lot of my friends, without naming names, but a lot of my friends who are very successful that have wives, have kids, they had support systems and they had women that were willing to kind of push them and kind of really help them and kind of be there for them. And you were not getting that at all.
Not at all.
Not saying that I'm not getting that because B is very supportive of me, but there's a lot. She's much more of a realist than I am. I'm a psycho, you know? But you, I mean, your chick fucking wanted you to flat out quit comedy.
Yeah, she gave me like an end date. She was like, if by June 2015 nothing happens, you need to probably go back to college.
And it's not going to. So, I mean, is she a Terminator? What is she? Did she come back from the future and to come back to tell you she knew what was up?
She knew exactly that I was not going anywhere. But
she
saw you
trudging through an airport carrying Mencia's bags.
Last December. But no, like, but... But she tried to put an end date on it. And I'm going to be honest with you, in the 4 months we have not been together, my career has been way more productive than in the you're four funnier. Years. Yeah.
You're, I noticed, I just watched you recently for the first time in probably 6 months because we don't watch each other that much anymore.
Really, yeah.
Here and there, like, we'll catch bits and pieces of each other, but every once in a while, you'll sit down and just watch one of your buddies.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say maybe once every 6 months I'll watch one of my buddies. Let's really sit down and watch your set. And I watched, you know, it wasn't even your whole set, but it was a good half of your set. Yeah. And I was like, damn, man, Miguel's really gotten funny. And you're just doing, because a while ago you told me that Big J was your favorite comic.
Yes.
And it was really funny to me. This was maybe a year ago. We were just talking or whatever. You're like, yeah, dude, Big J's just the fucking shit. And I'm going, like, in my mind, I'm going, like, wow. I would have never guessed that because the shit you were doing, it was good. It wasn't like it was bad comedy, but it was just not that at all.
No.
Like, not like I saw absolutely zero influence in that. Whereas, like, Zach, I know Zach loves Big J and Dave Attell. Yeah. You know, I see the influence in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for you, I was like, it was actually very strange. I thought you were more influenced by, like, the urban circuit and, like, Latin comics, because that's kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But there was almost like a shift where you seem to be going darker. You're talking about more personal shit.
Yeah.
You're going dirtier, which I think, you know, for you, I think most of your shit was clean, you know, to kind of go there later on and kind of experiment with that, is a really good thing for you. And I really enjoyed watching you recently.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Man.
It's a compliment. That is a compliment.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's just because
nothing's going to happen by June 20th, 2015.
No,
just
okay.
Be very clear about that.
I'm okay with that.
That was a compliment.
But at least, like, I do like the change that I'm making, because when I was married, it was a lot of, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that.
Oh,
like,
I hate that shit.
So
dude.
I was like really limited to, I felt guilty if I did jokes like about, you know, really against her or whatever. So now that we're divorced, it feels like literally like just freedom to do whatever I want. And you're talking about the support. Like, Amy gives me that support. Like, she comes to every show. I really enjoy that. And I don't record myself.
A lot of butt play.
A lot of, yes. So she makes me feel so good. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just the support she gives me, and she comes to every show. And she sits down. I don't record myself. I've never recorded myself in this thing the way people put their phones out. But she does, and she goes, all right, when you get home, you have to listen to what you said because you were riffing. And actually, what you said was actually pretty funny, so try and work that in. And she kind of, if I've grown a lot in the last 4 months, it's because of her being like constantly like,
so she's writing your act now. That's why it's gotten better.
I write.
That's what's going on. Lewis was right that she's the.
She's very talented.
She's
very talented.
I love this girl.
No, she pushes me in the right directions, you know what I mean?
Robert, it kind of reminds me of your marriage to your religion. It really does.
Sure.
I'm not even lying. Like, the restrictions that a relationship that is unsupportive of this lifestyle, he's talking about it, and I'm going like, oh, wow, it kind of reminds me of Robbie Bernstein and the way that you've been throwing your religion into the garbage because you've been coming out on Fridays. You're here today. Actually, you're not breaking, what is it called?
Sabbath?
Are you breaking Sabbath right now?
No, not till tonight.
Not till tonight?
I gotta wait till tonight to break Sabbath.
But are you staying in the city?
No, I'm not in the city tonight.
So, are you just saying that because you're being recorded and you don't want
your rabbi to somehow
come across this?
No, I'm actually home tonight.
So you don't do anything from Friday to Saturday? You...
Eh, I mix it up. I'm not consistent.
He gets very uncomfortable when we talk about this.
Yeah.
You need to embrace this, Robbie Bernstein.
It is
legitimately the most interesting thing about you.
Thanks.
you should stay in the city tonight. Why are you not staying in the city tonight?
I would have, but my parents are out.
Can we get him a spot at Stand Up New York, a guest spot on a 5 minute guest spot on the show? Is Joe Harary here right now?
No, it's Shabbos. He's not here.
Joe Harary's a Jew too.
Of course.
But that hardcore of one. I mean, I knew he was a Jew, but I didn't know he was like a real Jew. What?
Wow.
Can we get him 5 minutes tonight? Just, I want to see if he's willing to give up a 5 minute guest spot at Stand Up New York, a premier A comedy club.
So many.
Can we send him some smoked salmon signals?
Smoked salmon signals? The Jew call. I smell lox. I gotta get back to work.
Just a star, David, into the sky.
It's just a dollar sign, like the bat signal.
Yeah. Is that the smell of smoked fish?
Robbie Bernstein, you—that's the other thing. You're trying to move into the city, and that's—you're gonna make the official transition into only semi-Jew once you move here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, your family knows you do stand up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad, mom, and they're cool with that.
Yeah.
What, they saw you recently. Did you go dirty in front of them? Did you curse and do all like your shit?
No, I clean it up when they're there. Yeah. My mom's never seen me. My dad's come out once or twice, and I there's stuff I won't jokes I won't do in front of him.
That's funny. I don't know. Is it because he would be upset, or just because you feel as if it's just not respect? That's not the way you talk in front of your dad.
It's kind of like I don't, just not worth rocking the boat kind of thing.
But it is rocking the boat.
Yeah, it would be rocking the boat. See, that's I mean, like, if I did my joke about banging the single mom in front of him, I'd have to have a conversation about that I've had sex with the single mom. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to get into that.
How big was the hole you cut in the sheet?
I mean, look, everybody's lives give them certain restrictions, you know, with comedy. Like, most people have a, you know, a day job. Like, my last day job, I couldn't, like, show them. The last day job I had in the gyms, what I would do is I would really downplay it in the interviews that I was a comic. I'm like, yeah, you know, sometimes it's a hobby. I'll do it because people would find out about it. Because I know a boss doesn't want to hear in a job interview that, like, my passion is telling fucking dick jokes at night. And then, especially the type of comedy that I do, which is fairly, you know, I do a lot of racial shit. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of, you know, gay shit. I do a lot of shit, you know, where I'm cursing a lot, doing filthy jokes. So I feel like that would definitely, you know, if there was an HR department, it would definitely set off some signals. In fact, when I worked at Equinox, it didn't really matter as much. They knew I was a comic, and they actually all came out and saw me do shit. But the one girl who worked there, she was like a front desk girl. She did, like, basically it was a podcast at the time. It was funny because it wasn't. It was a video. It was like a YouTube, like, web series. But they just sat in a chair, three of them, and they talked about pro wrestling.
Right.
And they were just kind of like, they just cursed. It wasn't even a big deal. But they threatened to fire this chick if she didn't stop doing it. And she stopped doing it. And I was like, are you fucking crazy? I was like, I was actually making real money at this place. I was like, if they threatened to fire me, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. You know, if they told me to stop comedy. But it was kind of an interesting thing. They never really came at me because I think it was just like a different position in the company. When you're doing sales and actually generating money for a company, it's a little different than if you're a front desk girl. I want to really quickly just go back to Chris Scopo watch and see if he's saying anything at all. I'm rooting for him. I want Chris Scopo to be funny. I've been training him on this podcast to be a funny comedian.
Can we take bets on whether or not he's on air?
I don't think he's talking. I think unless Bobby goes, hey, can you play that video?
Let's see. Let's see, YKWD. Oh, wait, is it not live anymore? It's over? Oh, damn it. Oh. All right, anyway.
That's the end of that bit.
You know what? One thing that's crazy about you, Lewis, is, like, you don't even, like, consider failure. Like, you just, like, because I heard how you didn't even start doing open mics. You just started running shows.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing to me. You just go fucking balls to the walls. Like, I'm going to do this. I don't give a fuck.
Well, but you weren't doing comedy when you first started.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. It's like, I was a fan. I was a producer very, very young in life. Like, I started producing rock shows. I mean, I knew all these bands that got pretty big. Coheed and Cambria, Sworn Enemy, E-Town Concrete. I was booking all of these bands when I was like a 15 and 16 year old kid. I would rent out like fire halls, and like there was a church that we'd rent out that they'd like let us throw these hardcore and rock shows. Yeah. And I was in a band, and this was just kind of what I did. It was this DIY punk rock type thing that was, like, if you go in Jersey, it still exists, you know? Like, all of those bands used to all go through, all those punk rock bands, like, they ended up getting fucking big. They all would just play around Jersey, and then the emo movement happened, and they all kind of just got, like, Thursday, and it was the fucking worst music on earth. But, like, all of the, do you remember that?
Genre? My Chemical Romance, yes, one guy worked at the Barnes & Nobles by my house.
Right. This was this whole weird, like, Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut hardcore scene that was, like, built in these, like, fucking fire halls and, like,
VFWs and shit like that.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I came from. So when I moved to New York City, I started selling comedy club tickets for a company, and I got exposed to the stand-up comedy scene. Yeah. I was still trying to be a musician. I was still playing drums. My band had broke up, but I was still trying to be a drummer. I was still trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I started selling tickets for this company. And then after a year or two, I was like, well, why am I selling tickets for them? Like, I got immediately that, I could just sell tickets for myself. I could just approach another comedy club and just do it. So I kind of broke off and then created a huge street deal. I made a lot of money. And then because I just had that in me to produce shows, I was like, well, I want to start producing some comedy shows. Mm-hmm. So I booked some shows. I mean, like Todd Barry, Jim Gaffigan, it's like back in the day. So I met Big J, I met Kurt Metzger. This was all before I was doing comedy. Yeah. Kurt Metzger actually sold comedy club tickets with me on the street.
Really?
That's how I first met Kurt.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah. He did it for a day and then he quit.
Oh.
But then because I was producing my own shows, then eventually I was like, well, why? I was like, I kind of wanted to do it. I was always funny. Mm-hmm. I was always considered like the funny guy. One day I had a host cancel the day before, and I just didn't know a ton of comics, so I was like, fuck it, I'll host the show.
Yeah.
And then for the first year, I just hosted my own shows, and I was like, fuck it. So I kind of gradually moved into doing stand-up, but it was that I didn't really need to ever do the open mics, because by the time I was really into doing stand-up, telling jokes, I was producing 6 to 8 shows per week, and most of them were sold out. Stand-up New York, I mean, the old school days of stand-up New York, we had just fucking packed out shows Thursday through Sunday. We had packed out shows every single night.
Yeah.
And we were just fucking, we didn't really, like I said, I think it was a problem. I think that's why a lot of people in the beginning didn't like me, was because I didn't really have to go through those motions.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a cockiness. I was just like, I was legitimately making this place a lot of money. So I just kind of had an attitude of like, yeah, I was the shit. I really was. My shows were awesome. Mm-hmm. I was bringing in a lot of people. Nobody was really saying, hey, dude, you're not funny, because they wanted to do my shows.
Yeah.
So I kind of had this thing in my head, like I was doing well on, I always was able to do well, but I was doing well with horse shit. So it was this whole weird thing. And I remember at one point Wayne Rada said to me, he was like, yeah, Patrice O'Neill doesn't like you. And I was like, what? Like, Patrice O'Neill's like my favorite comic in the world. Like, literally, to this day, the greatest of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Wayne Rada, I don't know exactly how much Wayne was exaggerating, but he said it. He was like, yeah, Patrice O'Neill. He was like, he thinks you're cocky. He doesn't know why you have, you're so comfortable in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 100% true. Why the fuck was a 2-year comic so comfortable to be at the bar at Stand Up New York, to act like I had to, was, and this is before I realized that I wasn't very good at comedy. And then it went into, you know, I've told this story before on the podcast, but I went on the road with Big J, and we just got high one night, and he broke down that I stunk, and he really broke down how much I stunk, and it kind of broke
me. That's a good friend.
It was a great friend, because then for the next year, I just fucking bombed. I remember my second year of comedy, like going into that, I guess between my second and third year of comedy, I just bombed for like a year straight, because I was so in my head about all my jokes.
Yeah.
Jay would walk in the room, and he would make a face of disgust as he's watching me, because he knew it was fucking with me. And it really, I mean, literally until maybe a year ago, if Jay was in the room, I'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe until 1 year ago, and I've been doing comedy for 10 years now. So it wasn't so much that I was like, fucking balls to the wall, dude. Yeah. I really wasn't balls to the wall. I just kind of, I became a comic kind of by accident.
Yeah.
I kind of fell into this thing because I was the guy that was going to always just kind of make shit happen for himself. Yeah. That was always me, you know?
Yeah, but they're very lucky to have the people you did around you, because, you know, plenty of people who start their own shows and just suck the whole way through and nobody likes to be around them. You broke that because people are like, yeah, I like hanging out with Lewis. He's funny, and he just happens to produce his stuff, but he is funny on top
of
that.
Well, like, that's the great equalizer, is you have to be fucking undeniably funny, you know? And that's the one thing that you hear really early in your career. It's like, dude, just get undeniable. And I'm not undeniable yet. There's clubs that don't work me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, look, dude, we want to all sit here, oh, dude, I'm fucking undeniably funny. Okay, well, why doesn't Caroline's work me?
Yeah.
If I was undeniable, they'd be fucking knocking down my door. Why am I the person emailing clubs around the country to headline me?
Yeah.
Why don't I have an agent right now? Because I'm not undeniable. And we need to have a little bit of self-awareness and kind of realize where we're at.
Yeah.
And the sooner you do that, I think then it becomes easier to kind of create, because the focus doesn't become like, oh, where am I at in the business? The focus becomes like, how can I get as fucking funny as possible?
Yeah.
You know?
But
Zach,
I don't know, you kill on stage. I would think that's more just because, like, you're not necessarily marketable or they don't know you. So, like, I wouldn't
still,
say
it's still, no, look, you, I'm just saying, like,
right?
By the purest definition of what undeniable is, nobody could fucking deny you. If somebody said, I don't think Luis J. Gomez is that funny, they can maybe make an argument for it. You know, like I'm not like, you know, that's just the reality. I'm still growing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the other thing, man. Like, you can't, I think the old school mentality of comedy, we're also in this generation. I mean, especially like you. I mean, dude, you guys are like, you know, super fucking, you've only been doing it for, you know, 5-6 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we're coming up watching like Louis and Bill Burr fucking do another hour every year and a half, every 2 years. They got a brand new fucking high quality crazy hour. So the standard of what we're supposed to be doing as a comic has legitimately changed.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, dude, these guys would write, you remember Seinfeld's comedian? He wrote it was a big deal that he was throwing away his act that he was using for 20 years and he was going to write a new hour. That was a huge deal. And he was going, it was like, back in the day, comics would just write their 20 minutes and they sit on it in the club. And now you need, every time I'm in the room and there's other comics in the room, I'm like, fuck, dude, I need to have new shit that's high quality. You know, it's a very high pressure thing. I feel like being a comic in the 90s would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah. I just recently met with someone and, like, I thought I'm a hard worker, but then the person was like, do you have a podcast? I was like, no. It's like, do you have a package? I was like, no. And he's like, well, what do you have? And I'm like, I have this pilot I'm writing and I'm on the road all the time. He's like, yeah, but everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, fuck. So the amount of work that they want us to put in, it's almost insane, but it's kind of standard now. Like, you have to have at least have a web series or a podcast on the regular in order for them to be like, whoa, how can I sell this?
Well, you know, the other thing, it's just we convince ourselves that we're working hard because we write emails. You know, but oh, dude, I sent out 5 emails today. I really worked hard today. It's like, all right, dude, that's like, dude, Bobby Kelly broke it down for me one time. It was just great. He was like, dude, look, he was like, telling jokes at night, that's fucking recess. He was like, that's playing. That's a lunch table. That's you kicking ass. That's what we're supposed to do every day. He was like, it's all the other shit that you do that's going to define who you are as a comic, you know. And that's the hard part, man. That's to be constantly creating projects, constantly writing scripts, constantly going to, I mean, I'm in an acting class right now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to audition. Like the amount of work that goes in on the back end for people to only see the 15 minutes at night. Mm-hmm. It seems like we're just part. And that's why the women that we're with, they'll never understand that it's like, oh, no. Like, yeah, dude, I get it. I'm having drinks tonight. I'm hanging out at a comedy club. But there's so much more that goes in to even put myself into a position where I could be performing at Stand Up New York or the Comedy Cellar or Gotham or one of these great clubs. To get to that moment and to be there, the amount of effort and the amount of work that it takes, it's fucking tremendous. And 0.0001% of the people in the world even attempt it, you know? Yeah. Zach, we never fucking, this one of the complaints I got about you on the show recently is that you're just a quipper. You're just a joke guy. We never get to have Zach as part of the conversation.
Yep.
So why don't you fucking jump in at one point? What's going on with you, dude? What's holding you back? What's your restrictions?
What?
Cause he's got his Judaism. He's got his fucking wife, his old wife that he had to kick out. So what is it with you, man?
I can't pick a thing.
Nothing.
No, I mean, I can't pick a, because I want to do movies and I want to do comedy, and I think I'm stretching myself out like too much.
We have a lot of skin.
Absolutely. But I can't focus on one of those two things, and I think I'm afraid to pick one and abandon the other, and I think that's my biggest problem right now.
You are one.
But then I do see people. I mean, Louis was a filmmaker for a long time before he hit it as a comic, you know? So I don't know. I think I picked a really ambitious way to do things, and it's failing miserably, but I'm going to keep doing it because, you know, that's all I want.
Fucking Zach's an interesting guy because he's one of the funniest guys I know, but he's a fucking, you're a little bit of a fucking weirdo, dude. I don't know what's going on. Like, why haven't you been able to take how funny you are
and apply it in any situation ever?
In anything else in life. Like, you're so funny. Like, actually, I always knew you were funny, but you were fucking, I didn't even realize how funny you were. And then you came on the show and I was like, Zach's fucking, dude, he's a beast. Yeah. He thinks very quick. It's like, that's it. You need to just fucking compartmentalize and do what you, and focus your funny on what you're actually doing. Because I feel like, dude, you should be putting out fucking hilarious web series. You know how to edit shit. Your stand-up should be through the fucking roof at this point. You've been doing comedy longer than me, I think.
I've been doing comedy for way too long to be nowhere.
You're also very loyal to your stand-up. Like, I remember when we were at a LOL and somebody goes, oh, we have to do a clean show now because there's like 2 kids in the audience. And Zach went, well, fuck it, I'm not getting up there.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was dirty. Like, for me, I was like, all right. I automatically want to change my stand-up. I was like, how do I make that joke without saying bitch? Like, I was ready to change. You were like, no,
I get that too. By the way, I understand both things, and I side with Zach on that. You know, like, look, I'd like to think that I'm at a place in my career where somebody's not gonna snap their fingers at me and say, oh, dude, you gotta go clean right now.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not why I'm here. If you know my comedy, you would know that's not what I do. I
mean, it's the same as if you were in a punk rock band and you got to a venue and they're like, oh, this is like a Christian acoustic show. I'd be like, oh, then I'm just gonna go home now.
Why waste your time, you know?
They're not gonna like it. I'm not gonna be happy up there.
No, look, I'm not saying, like, I just submitted a tape for Late Night and obviously it's fucking squeaky clean.
Right.
It's network TV clean. Because you choose those scenarios. You say, obviously, I have to do that.
Yeah.
When I did Last Comic Standing, I had to do a clean set.
Yeah.
That will hopefully give me enough exposure so I can do what I want to do in front of a larger audience.
Yeah.
You know, doing a clean show at LOL or any single club, any one club in the world, for that matter, doing a clean set, it will do absolutely nothing for you.
Yeah.
So then it becomes, how much are you fucking paying me? So it's like, if somebody says, hey, dude, I'll give you $500 to go do a half an hour clean, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. I mean, I really will, you know, like, I'm not going to, but for me to go, even just for regular pay, I'm not even going to waste my time. I'm not going to, it's not worth it for me to go there and not do what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I can use that time elsewhere.
Exactly.
All right, look, dude, I want to fucking change gears here for a second. 1 second. Fucking Reddit, dude. Reddit drives me out of my mind, too. That's another thing that I think about comedy in the 90s. Before, like, before social media,
yeah,
Like, it really was. You just get off stage and you go, that set felt good. And you go home and be like, I feel great. What a great life it is. And now you go home and you go on Reddit or you go on Twitter and somebody's like, you're fucking not funny. I hope your kid dies. And you're like, okay, well, now these people, it really does work both ways, because now you get to reach out to people and have this connection with these people. Yeah. But now you get to all of the hate that comes through. Yeah. And there's so much more fucking, like, it's not even that there's more hate than love, there's not, but it affects you so much more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the people love, especially on fucking Reddit, dude, they love to fucking hate. Do you deal with fan mail or hate mail or anything
On Facebook, I actually dealt with something last night.
Your wife, right?
Yeah, she's like, your fucking act is hack.
Jokes stink. I hope you get chlamydia from that whore.
She's clean. We got tested together, so it's all good. So I should post the results on there just because people think like she's so fucking dirty. And like,
do people know she does it? Do people talk shit about her?
People do talk shit about her, or they think that she is influencing me negatively because of the way she looks. But actually, like, I'm actually crazier than her. Like,
hold on, wait. How would she influence you negatively?
Well, I mean, you know, just.
Well, who was saying this? Friends?
Her family and like friends that we had mutually with Sabrina. Like, they've all stopped talking to me.
Yeah, they're her family. They got to talk shit about you and what you're doing.
Especially the fact that her parents were like radical Muslims and stuff, and it's like.
Well, that's another thing. Oh, fuck. Dude, I don't
and now you're doing heroin with the stripper. You can understand why they'd be concerned.
Well, here's the thing. What you were talking about changing your act, because you're like, your dad's there, your mom or dad were there. Like, one time I made it to the New York finals of NBC Stand Up for Diversity, and her mom and dad came to see me, and she put me off to the side. She's like, do not do any of the jokes about us or this or that. So now I had to audition for this thing. And I had to change my act, so I felt like, look, I didn't get it. I didn't think I was going to get it anyways, but at least I wanted to not get it with the material that I wanted to do, and now I had to change it up, and I felt double, like, oh, I feel stupid because now I did these hacky jokes that were friendly because her mom and dad were there, and she didn't want to, like, get yelled at when she got home.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's just poisonous for your career. That wasn't good at all. I mean, first of all, you converted to Islam.
I did. I had the beard and no bacon and going to the mosque and all that stuff every Friday.
And you didn't believe in any of that shit.
No, I mean, I believe in a God, but I just did not believe in, like, you know...
that
like,
silly one?
Ooh, let me ask you. Because that's an actually interesting thing. Like, I always wonder...
silly one?
Because
people have done worse things for citizenship, you know?
I mean, I believe in God, but the real one.
Okay.
Dude, Muslims, they're so... It's like just extremist Muslims. They're so sensationalized in the media right now, right? And it's fucking crazy, dude. And then you read these charts... And I read this one chart. It was like basically like a ring, and then it just showed you like the Muslim population in America, and then kind of what they believed, and then the inner rings kind of got smaller, kind of the more extreme the views went. But like the first ring was just like believe in Islam. The second ring was like believe a woman is under a man, and it's like it just right underneath there. So it's like basically everyone, and then it goes more and more extreme.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the temperature, dude? Because you have kind of some insight. What's the fucking temperature, like when there's an attack like this, right? When they're like these like ISIS attacking people over.
So is your wife mad because Amy got to keep her clit?
How dare you be with this clit, women?
with fucking real like American Muslims, are they kind of like fuck America? That's what I like. Here's the thing, because the feeling that I get, and this is only from the media, because I don't know, I genuinely don't know, and I feel like when you, it's a hard thing to ask an actual Muslim, because I feel like it's kind of an offensive question. I really do. I don't get offended by anything, but I just feel like a person who's genuinely into their religion, that would be something that's fairly offensive to them. But I just feel like the way that it gets portrayed is that even American Muslims are just kind of like, even though they're not like, we should be murdering fucking Americans, they're still kind of like, fuck America. Yeah. They're kind of, in a weird way, rooting for ISIS. Yeah. They're secretly kind of going like, well, you know what? America brought this on themselves. Yeah. Give me some insight.
Her father, I always thought of him as a woman in a battered relationship. Because, like, yes, he lives in America, but he sees all the bad things that does to his people. It's like, it hits me, but it hits me because he just wants me to be better. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's like, he hates all the things. Like, he's always watching the news. Like, look at him bombing these cities and these poor people are there, and just because they're Muslim. So many people are getting hurt by, you know, drone strikes that are not terrorists at all. So he understood that. But at the same time, he's like, but I love living here. I like the fact that I'm not getting bombed all the time. So he had, like, a little bit of a like, weird dynamic of, like, he believes in, like, America's doing so much, you know, wrong in the world, but, you know, he's here, so.
Yeah, man, you're tiptoeing around it. I feel like he's an actual Muslim. Can we please, can somebody catch him really quick? Put a bag on his head or something? I don't know.
Exhibit C, Miguel sat next to a fucking Jew for an hour.
Touch his Jew skin.
It's the last time
it doesn't burn anymore since I went back to Christianity, but it feels good.
Are you officially Christian again?
Yeah, well, I was.
Wait a minute, Robbie, were you just like, don't touch me, I don't want your Muslim hands
on
me? No,
I don't like people touching my face. You can touch my...
Robbie, I punched you in the face a bunch in a boxing match last week.
That didn't bother me.
But his Muslim hands do.
No, if you like take... I used to have acne. I just don't like people like touching my face.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, I used to have the worst acne.
And then your hair started falling out as soon as your skin cleared up.
It's the worst. That's why I'm trying, like, I'm trying to lose weight now because I can't both be fat and not have hair. I can't do both.
Oh, it sucks.
Oh,
trust me.
Like one awful. Or the other
Are
was
like... Are
you
bald under that?
Like, that was okay. Yeah. Like, to have hair and be, like, a little fat, but I can't, I can't face the world with both.
I mean, you're looking at it right in his face right now.
It's awful.
Have you... I look at pictures of me like when I was in eighth grade. I was not a fat kid, but I always kind of had man tits. I feel like that's like the worst side of being fat is like when people start getting fat and you go, oh my God, I have tits. Like now I'm fat. Like I kind
of. No, the worst part of being fat is the feeling of being fat. And you've never felt.
Yes, I have, dude.
Really fat, I don't think. Not like.
Dude, as a kid,
Zach
I wouldn't
want to
like.
Me.
Well, no, not like Zach, of course, but. I wouldn't go that far.
I'm not that. Like, don't do that.
I mean, I never had to face that in the mirror. I wouldn't leave home. This is horrifying.
Two mirrors put together side by side.
Three if I'm fucking a girl.
But
Shit, hold on. Let's get a little more. I'm going to play the song that put me in such a good mood before as I came in.
Hold on. I'm going to ruin Robbie's day real quick.
I'll tell you more than the Muslim thing with her dad annoying
me
about.
Oh, God. It's like a...
Oh, my God.
What is that? What is
I just showed Robbie a naked picture of me in clown makeup.
Let me see.
It's
every woman's dream.
It's an atrocity. If this got on the internet, it would be a meme immediately.
My God.
It's an atrocity.
If you wanted to be raped by a gigolo, that's your fantasy right there.
It's a juggalo,
first of all.
A
juggalo.
Holy shit.
It's an atrocity,
dude.
Right?
Yeah, can I get a better look at that?
Let me see.
Yeah, I'm going to show you. This is fucking unbelievable, dude.
Can we put this all up on the Real Ass Podcast?
No, I know if it got online, it would be a meme like tomorrow.
Yeah. All right.
Where's my turkey sandwich, you whore?
Here's my problem is I don't know how to fucking use an iPhone, and I got rid of it. Camera roll.
Oh, were you trying to
tweet
it?
There's
going to
be a lot of gross shit in there, I guarantee.
Were you trying to tweet it?
You want no part of that, buddy.
He's trying to Instagram it.
Lewis says, I barely knew Lewis. I'm in the green room once. He takes my phone, and he just has like a guilty look on his face. And then I finally, he's got like this smirk in his eye. I grab it out of his hand. He found a dick pic, and he was going to tweet it. Check this. I literally got it out of your hand at the last second.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do right
and
now.
We like barely knew each other. I thought it was hilarious.
I know. It's hilarious.
Dude, Amy doesn't keep her phone locked, and we were at the Gotham party, and she like
she has naked pictures of Zach in it?
Yeah, the same picture. Dude, I thought you guys were just talking about the movies. She checked her phone, and like a lot of the videos of us together were like sent out. But we don't know whose number was. It was like, all right, fuck it. It's out there now. But
that's hilarious.
But we just like.
So somebody just picked up the phone.
I picked the phone because she doesn't lock it. She's like, and she has a bunch of videos of us together, her naked and stuff like that. So they were like sent out.
My ex-girlfriend.
Like, Exhibit D.
I got to say.
Check out my Exhibit D, bro. Dude, my ex-girlfriend threatened to like, she was like, if you ever mention me again, I'll send out these naked pictures and videos of you. I was like, first of all, if you still have naked pictures and video of me from like 7 years ago, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But second of all, I mean, do you really think it would affect me that much? Like, all it would do is make my friends laugh. It would be fodder for a week on a podcast.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I mean, here's the thing. We don't have the same type of embarrassment that normal people have.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you post a picture on Instagram of you naked in the mirror with your own logo above your dick, and then you have to take it off right away, you know, to explain why, but...
Oh, yeah, I did take it off because, well, I took it off...
Oh, is that you? I thought you were about himself.
No, I posted a naked picture with Bobby Kelly's face over my dick from the YKWD logo. Yeah. I took it off for two reasons. Number one, on Instagram, it could be reported as inappropriate, but I didn't want my account to get suspended. And then number two, I was like, man, maybe Bobby might murder me.
Did you ever get a response from him?
He never said anything, but I haven't been on the podcast in a month and a half since. So, you know, what are you going to do?
I thought that was so funny.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding, guys. Sure.
I wouldn't be happy if naked photos of me were online. I look terrible naked. I wouldn't want to deal
with
that.
But who cares, dude? We're funny. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, look, I'm all awesome looking and muscly right now.
Right.
But it would be way funnier if when I was fat with my little putty dick, if a picture of me got released on the internet. That's a much funnier thing than if I was naked and looked good.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
There's like a picture that an ex-boyfriend posted of Amy, and she's tried everything for like the last 6 months to try to get it down.
Oh, where is it? Hold on.
No. I'm not going to tell you.
Come on, dude.
It was one of those revenge sites.
I jerk off with her clothes on, so why not make it better?
But you know what? Like, I told Amy, I was like, why would he do this? She's like, well, after we broke up, he found out that if you put it on these revenge sites, they'll pay you like $1,000. And I was like, oh. Well, I didn't know that shit. So, like, this dude, like,
so now your wife breastfeeding is on this revenge site?
Yes. Yeah, $1,000, man. I'm about to pay for my divorce, so don't ask me how I got the money.
By the way, I don't like how
Muslim
you're drinking.
MuslimTitties.org.
He's drinking the water out of the Stand Up New York Labs cup with the logo facing
just
the camera.
Just like people know where we're at.
Like they paid him?
It's a product placement. Oh,
God damn it. Oh, boy. My fucking back, guys. Does anybody know how to help a back out?
Crack it?
Oh, no, please don't do that, dude. I was doing a deadlift yesterday, or a few days ago now at this point, and I fucking, on my second set, it just, like, popped, dude. And now, since then, it's really hurting, man. I'm terrified.
Just take a couple of days. I mean, it'd be...
I'm saying, does anybody have any painkillers on them? That's really what I'm asking.
No. Got some weed.
No, I don't have any painkillers on me. I don't have any painkillers on me.
You have some weed, too?
It's the fucking morning.
Can we smoke pot?
I mean, Lewis' back's hurt. How are we supposed to do a podcast when Lewis is injured?
Here's what I don't like, okay? Look, I know that we're not supposed to smoke pot, okay?
Right.
But I also know that Sherrod fucking Small comes in here every week and smokes pot.
Tell him he's not allowed, so it bugs me.
But, look, I don't even care.
If you got to start choking people. If you were more violent, then people would let you smoke pot where you wanted
to. That's only hearsay. Who knows if Sherrod really did that?
Just tell everybody you break their jaw if you don't smoke weed.
Just tan so you look
Lewis
blacker.
Lewis tells everyone he's
going to
break their
people.
Jaw. No, I just heard it today.
That's Lewis's hello.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just saying we should fucking smoke a little weed. We got another 10 minutes left in the show. Get a little high. I feel like, you know what? The fans want to get high with us. In fact, if you're watching out there in real ass dude land, your bowl right now. Take out a joint. Take out your bong. We're going to smoke a little pot with
our guests. Put down your autism medication, Lewis's fans.
No, I think this should be a tradition, John. For the last 10 minutes of the show, can we just smoke a bowl for the last 10 minutes of the show with the fans? That's kind of a fun thing to get
the
live.
For the fans.
It's for the fans. And, by the way, I think, I don't know, but I know, like, there's, like, these cabaret laws, right? For, like Chappelle, I know he smoked cigarettes on stage. Shut the fuck up, dude. He smoked cigarettes on stage at comedy clubs, right?
I heard you can do heroin if you're a performer.
Listen, they're going to know where we're at. I just had the logo out for an hour.
Hold on, what?
I have a volcano.
Volcano, but we have to heat it all up, and we've only got 10 minutes. I
like how we're making John
into
like a dad
parent. The bag thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I never had that.
You pussy.
No, I just learned how to do a bong, like a bong hit.
But John, they get to smoke on other podcasts.
I literally just learned that because like Amy's a huge, huge pothead.
Amy Schumer.
Yes, huge pothead.
Guys, tweet that out. Miguel Dalmau says Amy Schumer's a real pothead. I'm kidding. Don't tweet that out, please, for the love of God.
So it's just fun to like, she's like, oh, you should do it like this now. You should try it like this. I'm like, oh, it's pretty good.
Great story. Anyways, are we smoking pot
here?
Are
we going to smoke? Can we do it, John?
This one time.
Yes. All right.
I don't have anything to smoke out of, though.
I have.
All pass.
Even though I have a business meeting in like an hour.
Oh.
No, but you're saying it like you don't want us to. Yeah. No. I see what he's doing.
After the podcast.
I talked to you, and I know what that was.
He's doing guilt. What Miguel's wife was doing a lot for the last year of the relationship.
I mean, if you
Miguel, go tell your jokes. Yeah. Go tell your jokes. Fine. No, just that'll be fine, Miguel.
One time she picked up the baby, she was like, yeah, look, daddy's leaving us again. And she took his little hand and was like, say bye to daddy who doesn't love us. And I was like, that's the cutest and meanest thing I've ever fucking
That's fucking evil, dude.
Just my son just with his little dangly hand.
All right. We'll smoke pot after. We'll smoke pot out front afterwards. It's fine, John. We only got 7 minutes left. We're good. So, Miguel, any shows coming up to promote?
Yeah, actually, I'll be at Laugh Fest March 12th to the 15th. I got two shows at Pyramid Scheme Thursday and Friday. I know Big J will be there, so I'm kind of hoping I finish in time to go watch.
You hope he hears this podcast that he's your favorite.
He's my favorite of all time, dude. I swear to God.
For those of you who don't know Big J, he's the wacky sidekick on the Dan Soder show.
Did it get greenlit?
Not yet, but it's going to happen.
Oh, great.
Yeah, by the way, fans that are worrying about that show, the show's going to happen. They're still negotiating. I know because Big J cried on another podcast.
I love that podcast.
You would think that the
serious
that
people.
The show, the deal would have been dead in the air. Yeah. But the truth is, it's still happening, probably, and Jay cried for no reason. He just got a little emotional.
Didn't that make him probably more sympathetic to people? I'm sure it opened up a lot of new people.
It's annoying, actually, because Jay is a mean person, and he's not this sensitive, nice guy, and I'm sick of it. Now Jay is going to be Mr. Fucking Sensitive, which is fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Really?
Anyway.
I like the fact that he's vulnerable.
Fuck Big Jay. I hope the deal doesn't go. You know what? That's it. I hope the deal doesn't go. I hope.
I can't wait to be the new host of Legion of Skank. I can't wait.
Oh, boy. All right. So I also got some shows coming up, guys. Make sure you check me out live. I got a lot of fucking dates coming up here. Boom. All right. Washington, D.C. I'll be March 21st with Chris Scopo, Beer Baron. That's Last Resort Comedy in Washington, D.C. March 21st, 7 p.m. show. March 27th and 28th, Yakima, Washington at the Laugh Lounge. March 29th in Seattle, Washington, Parlor Live. March 31st, Tacoma, Washington at Jazz Bones. And then going into April, I got April 9th through 12th, I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio with Nate Bargatze at Go Bananas, which is pretty dope. And April 17th, 18th, I'll be headlining Joker's Wild in New Haven, Connecticut. So, yeah, Miguel, anything else, man, talk about? Anything you want to plug? Anything going on? Any projects?
Just follow me on Twitter, at Miguel Dalmau. And in a couple of weeks, there'll be a couple of PSAs coming out, government-issued PSAs that I'll be in. I'm shooting that all next week.
But really?
Are you in trouble? Yeah.
Deadbeat dads?
Got a pair of chances. No, I that's why I was supposed to go to L.A. next week, but I booked some pretty high-paying, like, government PSAs.
Listen, husbands, if you're out there banging strippers, thinking about leaving your wives, I'm here to tell you that I did that,
Miguel.
And it didn't
awesome.
Work out well, and now my child.
You can't plug government PSAs.
That's great. It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Some of the decisions you make sometimes.
I'm excited.
What is it a PSA for?
Ironically, immigration. Like
Miguel, mm-hmm. You fucking...
I'm excited about everything that I'm doing, dude. I booked all this stuff on my own.
Some decisions you make are so funny to me sometimes. Why were you going to L.A.?
I was going to L.A. just to open up for Mencia, like, just at the brand.
I'll pay some gigs. All right. All right.
No, they weren't paid.
He told me this other shit one time. We're going to get out of here right after this. But this one time, weren't you not working comics for, like, years or something?
Yeah.
Because you...
I answered an email back very rudely.
You, dude, what did you?
I do that a lot.
No, you, and then no, we went on a road gig. There was something happened. What were you giving up for something?
Oh, I was giving up
his family for a fucking dirty blue haired whore.
No. I gave up one night of comics to do the Comedy Central.
All right, but all right. So that's not what I'm talking about. We were going on a road gig, and you told me it was another thing.
Oh, I gave up another night of comics to do a mockumentary for Music Choice Television.
Yeah, dude, you fucking.
Yeah, and that's why he was like, "You canceled on me last."
No,
minute.
You gave up something else for the mockumentary.
I gave up like a show or something. They were like, "You're canceling on us last minute."
Yeah, it wasn't comics. It was another show.
It was another show.
It was another club you canceled on last minute for a fucking mockumentary.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong with you? You're just like, yeah, dude, this mockumentary is going to be huge. I'm like, no, it's not going to be huge.
Yeah.
It did nothing for you. Am I wrong or am I right? Did this mockumentary do nothing for you?
Well, it came out really well. And I put it up online and I put up together my reel and I got a real legit acting agent out of it. Like, I have a real, the guy that represents me represents like, Batista, he represents like The Rock. He represents like a lot of big
all of these non-real actors.
Well, no, but I mean, like,
so the mockumentary never even came out.
No, but they sent me all the.
It came
real
out on
footage.
Your Twitter page.
No, they
that
sent
was
me
a real
footage,
winner.
And they were like, "You can use the footage if you want to send it out." And look, I understand that I love stand-up. I don't want to ever give up stand-up, but there are some times where you have to make sacrifices. If
yes,
something
but,
comes
and
along.
We talked about that earlier. Yeah. Sometimes you make a sacrifice. Yeah. You do a clean set because of the TV thing.
Yeah.
But not for a mockumentary. Or a fucking public service announcement.
Well, the company that hired me, they also hired me to write it. So they paid me like a lot so that I can use that as a writing credit. And it's union. It's going to be a union thing. So that helps me out with get my SAG-AFTRA card. So I looked at it and it's a pretty high paycheck. Like, and the guys told me like, look, you did such a great job. We actually want to use you for other stuff. So I understand. I didn't want to give up that weekend in Brea. It's my first time in California. But I saw like, look, he understands that I can't come out here because I booked this thing. But hopefully like... with the credit and
I hope he never uses you again. I'm going to tweet at him right now and be like, hey, dude, I'm available that weekend. Miguel told me to hit you up.
I wasn't getting paid anyway, so I was just going out there to do 10 minutes.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, let me plug my Twitter.
Oh, sorry.
Robbie the Fire. Check it out, people.
Don't tweet him on Saturday nights. He won't answer you.
I'm bringing the heat, you people.
Friday night to Saturday morning. Don't tweet at
Friday
me.
Night, Saturday morning.
He has his tweets automated from Friday night to Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's
morning.
Right. Leave your winter coats at home. I'm bringing the fire. All right.
Guys, follow us on Twitter at Robbie Burns, Robbie the Fire, Luis J. Gomez.
At Miguel Del Mau.
Miguel Del Mau.
At Zach is not funny.
Guys, we'll check you next week. Realist Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.